or whatever your name is, Chris or something.
Coach Talk.
Coach Talk. Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah, okay. You ready? Hey, this is Dave from Knoxville, and you're listening to Frederick's Mind Frames.
Hey, somebody say Dave.
I'm ready.
Dave is a very canny interviewee.
He knows how to turn the focus around from him being the subject of the interview to the interviewer becoming the subject.
What's it like being in the locker set?
It's boring, quite frankly.
That's exactly what I was going to do. You just get so tired of trading boats. Frederick, I absolve you. Frederick, I absolve you.
What do Jesus, Socrates, Confucius, and Muhammad all have in common?
I don't know.
None of them wrote anything down.
Uh-oh. Oh, I didn't realize that about Confucius. Yeah, but you can't get royalties if you just talk.
That's all I do.
Dave, what's the deal with Russell's antinomy, also known as the Barber's Paradox? Would you mind explaining that?
There's a village where the barber only shaves people who do not shave themselves. I work with them every day. And it leads to a paradox. I may have just worded it wrong. To a paradox in that the barber can neither shave himself not shave himself.
Oh.
Excluded from being shaved under one condition, so he must shave himself, but if he does, he's not allowed to. Something like that. And it was an example that Bertrand Russell used a lot. And I know that Gerdell's stuff knocked the wind out of that paradox.
Yeah. I wonder how Russell reacted, if he was a man about it and said, well, oh, I know. Well, and that's part of why I admire him.
He also attempted to tie the logic of mathematics to the logic of human reasoning, hoping that we could put ideas into precise sentences that offered clear and precise answers, like a standard mathematical equation.
But maybe he was being too prescriptive, or attempting to be prescriptive. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Rather than just describing what was going on, he was trying to superimpose mathematics, because he liked mathematics and how they worked out so well, and he'd like to see that in a philosophical thing.
Yeah, it was a hope. I mean, that would make decisions a lot easier if everything could run out of a system.
Right, and then once you got these ideas and you put them into the equation, everybody would come to the same conclusion. And we could live in harmony, because everybody would say, well, that's just obvious. Just like 2 + 2 = 4. I mean, as long as we go along with that, we're not going to have any more wars.
You know, when he started down that road, it probably sounded great, but doesn't it seem kind of naive now?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, so many things.
I was just listening. Have you ever heard of the podcast, A Partially Examined Life?
No.
Oh, man. I'd like to recommend it to you.
Okay.
It's three guys that thought they were going to be
philosophers
and then veered off. But, you know, once you get exposed to philosophy, you can't get away from it. And so they get together and they read a book or a portion of a book, and then they discuss it. And they were talking about, in the most recent one, they talk about all kinds of things. And I had heard of, I think, Gerdell on their program. I think that's probably what made me think of it. But they were talking about, the most recent podcast is about our founders and Federalist Papers. Almost like the paradox of wanting a democracy, but knowing that you can't really have a democracy.
Right.
Because then you would have chaos. And so that's how we ended up with representative democracy and the electoral college, which I am now opposed to.
Because it gives disproportionate weight to the votes of people who live in more sparsely populated states. Their votes have more influence.
Why is that guy talking slow?
Well, let's move on to another topic.
Last time we talked,
Dave?
You gave a pretty good description of Zeno's paradox. I ended up cutting it, and I'm not really sure what happened to it. So, if you wouldn't mind, could we go over that one more time, Dave?
Zeno's paradox. And that's the one where you said you take a distance and divide it in half.
Right.
You want to take that and run with it a little bit?
Yeah, the idea is, before it can get to the tree, it has to get halfway to the tree. And you can imagine it getting at the point that's halfway to the tree, and then imagine yourself at that point, and it's like you've reset the problem, because relative to that point, before it can hit the tree, it's got to get halfway to the tree. And if you can freeze time and move to that point, it has to keep getting halfway to the tree before it can get to the tree. But since that process can go on forever, it should never hit the tree.
And the paradox...
Yet obviously, if you're a decent shot, when you fire an arrow, it hits a tree almost instantaneously.
So what's that say to you, Dave?
What does that say to me?
Yeah, does that say something to you?
Well, I mean, that was an early matter of misunderstanding the way infinitesimal distance. There's a joke that says an infinite number of mathematicians walk into a bar. The first one says, I'll have a beer. The second one says, I'll have half a beer. The third one says, I'll have a quarter of a beer. The fourth one says, I'll have an eighth of a beer. The bartender finally gets sick of it and says, you guys are idiots, and pours them two beers.
And he's going to let them share?
Huh?
And then they can share?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the point is Zeno's paradox, when it gets halfway to the tree, it's gone halfway. And then when it goes halfway again, it's gone a half and a quarter. So now it's gone three quarters of the way, and there's a quarter left. If it goes halfway again, now it's gone seven-eighths of the way, and there's one-eighth left. So if you add a half, a quarter, and an eighth, and a sixteenth, and so on, it adds up to exactly one. Well, it approaches one as a limit. There's that calculus language again. That's the reason the arrow can finally hit the tree.
Why?
Because...
Why does it reach one?
Well, because every time you take the next step, you've got 1 over 2 to the n remaining. So after 1 move, you've got half of the distance left. After the next move, you've got 1 quarter of the distance left. After the next one, 1/8. After the next one, 1/16, and so on. Well, that fraction goes towards 0. That's what we say when we say a
that is when the contact occurs.
Right. Now, I have heard it argued that the reason this falls apart in real life is that space is not infinitely divisible.
Now, I like that.
The point at which you cannot divide the remaining space by half.
You can't go halfway.
Right, because you've reached the most minuscule possible division of space. But I, you know, that's not as much fun as a thought experiment.
It is kind of fun, though.
Well, yeah.
Hey, somebody take
Dave. Hello?
You know, I'm a churchgoer. I left you a message just about 25 minutes ago. I'm actually trying to